I'll start with good news and a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he said, "Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannah." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "All the members of my nation will enter the paradise." So congratulations, walhamdulillah, for this blessing. But then he said, "Illa man aba," except who refuses to enter the paradise. So it's very complicated to understand. What does that mean? So the companions radiallahu anhum, they said, "Waman ya'ba ya Rasulullah," who's the one who rejects entering the paradise? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it in simple terms, and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah wa man asani faqad aba." Anyone who obeys me, he enters the paradise, and anyone who disobeys my commandments, then he is the one who has rejected to enter the paradise. Brothers and sisters in Islam, my topic tonight is a depressing, distressing, painful, heartbreaking, daunting topic. It is a description of the hellfire, and we're going to journey into this hellfire. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us. And I don't know how we could have survived and remained hopeful if there was no mention of the paradise in the Quran and in Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin with a hadith, and this is the hadith narrated by Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu. He said, "Anna fatan min al-ansar dakhalathu khashyatullah fakana yabki 'inda dhikri an-nar." He said there was a young man. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala penetrated deep into his heart, to the point where whenever the hellfire was mentioned, he would cry, and cry abundantly. Subhanallah, just want you to reflect. The youth that were around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was their condition. They would cry when the hellfire was mentioned. If you're to observe the state of the youth today, what do they cry over? You find that some cry when their football team loses the grand final. وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Some of the youth are crying when they watch, not only youth, but even all the people, are crying when they watch an emotional series or a movie that's all acted and made up, but it gets them crying. And some of our youth are crying because their boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship have ended. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us Iman. So this young boy, whenever he heard the hellfire, he would cry. حَتَّى حَبَسَهُ ذَلِكَ فِي بَيْتِهِ. The matter had intensified in his life to the point he became locked in his own house and he would not leave his house. Young boy. فَذُكِرَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The state and the condition of this boy was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَاءَهُ فِي الْبَيْتِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him, to his house, to visit him. The moment the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered this young boy's house, فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ اعْتَنَقَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The boy, he jumped and he hugged the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tightly. وَخَرَّ مَيِّتًا. And he died. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts him down, and he says to the companions, جَهِّزُوا صَاحِبَكُمْ فَإِنَّ الْفَرَقَ مِنَ النَّارِ فَلَذَ كَبِدَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the companions, "Prepare the funeral of your brother, for indeed the mention of the fire has tore his liver into pieces." The mention of the hellfire and the fear of the hellfire could reach such a point with a person that it could end up causing his death, and it affects his internal organs and limbs like this young man. Today, if someone cried from the hellfire and from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, you'd think this person has gone mad. We'd say, "Brother, you need to take a break, you need to relax, you've gone insane and you've gone mad." This is because the fear of the hellfire has long gone from the people's memory and the people's talk. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enlighten us with Iman. The problem in today's world and society, there is a huge emphasis on love and hope. Wherever you go, love Allah Azza wa Jal, hope in Allah's mercy, hope in Allah's forgiveness, and that's all good and that's all required, and it is necessary part of healthy iman. And the one who talks about the fear of Allah and the hellfire is cancelled and he's hated. I don't like this sheikh, I hate this sheikh and this preacher because they scare me from Allah. And they talk to me about the hellfire and I don't like to be afraid and scared of Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, I give you some news. The reality is, if you die and your heart only knows the love of Allah and hope in Allah, and your heart doesn't know the fear of Allah, you will meet Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment with a corrupted heart. The fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is wajib. It's just as important as hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon a young boy that was dying. And he said to him, Kayfa tajiduk? How are you, young man? How do you feel? The boy said, Wallahi ya Rasulallah, inni arjullah wa inni akhafu dhunubi. He said, Messenger of Allah, I have high hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah, and at the same time, I fear my sins. I fear the punishment of Allah and what Allah Azza wa Jal could do to me with my sins. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وأمنه مما يخاف. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if a person combines between these two things, hope and fear, at the time of death in that position, except that Allah Azza wa Jal will give him what he hoped for, and he will save him and protect him from that which he feared. The heart needs to know the love of Allah, hope in Allah, and equally as important, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you don't read a description of the hellfire, which Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of in most part of the Quran, then how are you going to develop your fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and fearing your own sins? That's the point of our talk. So we said the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is wajib. We're not here to scare one another. Rather, we are here so that I warn myself first and foremost and warn you all. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk amongst the companions, imagine, these are companions that are already promised the paradise, right? All the companions are promised the paradise. So why do they have to be reminded of the hellfire? They're not even going there, they won't even see it. Even then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk in the streets of Al-Madinah and he would scream out, أنذرتكم النار, أنذرتكم النار, أنذرتكم النار. I warn you of the fire, I warn you of the fire, I warn you of the fire of hell. Wallah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he said, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. I've warned you of a ferocious fire. So the idea is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat this warning of the hellfire among companions that were already promised the paradise. Brothers and sisters, how much more are we supposed to remind and warn each other of this fire of hell? And what is the sign that you have become afraid of the hellfire and that now you are aware of the fire of hell? The sign is, I give you an example. When you know that there is a traffic light or a speed camera or a red light camera on the street and you approach it and you know it's there, you most definitely slow down to avoid the consequences of being flashed, and that is a fine and whatever comes with it. The sign that you fear the hellfire is that you begin to slow down in your disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you begin to try with lots of effort to put an end to your sins with lots of effort. Why? Not to avoid a fine, but to avoid a fire that burns. And you will find yourself continuously obeying Allah, whether you dislike or you find burden in that or not. Because you know, the only way to be saved from that fire is to do what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded. So you'll begin to find in yourself that you are committed upon 5 daily prayers. You are committed upon consuming al-halal and avoiding al-haram, adhering to the Islamic dress code for both men and women, and so on. This is a sign that now you have fed the fire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the hellfire itself already exists. It's there. The first mention of the hellfire in the Quran mentions this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. Feed the fire, protect yourself from the fire. الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. He says it has been prepared for the disbelievers. The word prepared suggests that it is already there. And there are two opinions concerning the location of the hellfire. Where is it at this current time? One narration is the narration of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was taken from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis that night of al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, he said that Jibreel came to him in the holy house, Bayt al-Maqdis. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to free it. فَفُتِحَتْ لَنَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. And the doors of the heavens, the doors of the skies were open. وَرَأَيْتُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw the paradise and I saw the hellfire. So one opinion suggests that he saw it in the above direction when the doors of the sky opened. And in another opinion, the hellfire is actually fi sijjin fil ard as-sufla. It is in sijjin, which is the lowest earth. Wallahu a'lam, there's nothing clear cut in terms of where it is. But from our belief is that we believe most definitely it exists and it has already been prepared. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us certain matters on earth that remind us of the hellfire. There are things that exist right now that their only purpose was to remind you and I of the hellfire. Number one, the fire itself. Any worldly fire that is kindled, brother or the sister that are cooking and turn on the stove and you see the flames, all of that, there's a purpose for it. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, نَحْنُ جَعَلْنَاهَا تَذْكِرَةً. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, we made the fire of this dunya a reminder. A reminder of the fire of the afterlife. So every time you see a fire, the believer is supposed to remember the fire of the afterlife. That's the first thing. And this, subhanAllah, was this matter was among the Sahaba and among At-Tabi'een. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, كان يمر بالحدادين وقد أخرجوا الحديد من النار. He used to pass by the blacksmith and they had removed the metal from the fire. You know how it becomes red hot? فيقف ينظر إليه ويبكي. He used to look at it and he would begin to cry. Why? Because he has remembered the fire of the afterlife. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ربما توقد له نار. A fire would be kindled. ثم يدني يده. He would bring his hand close to its flames. And then he would say, يا ابن الخطاب هل لك على هذا صبر. He would say, oh ابن الخطاب, he's speaking to himself, could you bear patience over this? Reminding himself of the fire of the afterlife. والأحنف ابن قيس رحمه الله يجيء ويجاء إلى المصباح فيضع إصبعه فيه ثم يقول. They used to bring the lantern and there was a fire kindled within the lantern. And he would bring his finger close to it and he would touch the fire for a little bit. ثم يقول حس. يعني he burnt his hand. ثم يقول يا أحنف ما حملك على ما صنعت يوم كذا وكذا. He would talk to himself. He would say, ya Ahnaf, why did you do such and such deed on that day? He's holding himself to account now and he's trying to punish himself for what he did. Subhanallah. Because the fire of the afterlife would be a lot more intense than this. At least you can remove your finger and seek some treatment for it. What about over there? there is no seeking treatment, and there is no escape. And so on. The stories among the companions and among as-sahaba are plenty in this regard. So that's the first thing. Any fire on earth reminds us of the fire of the afterlife. Number two, the hottest day on earth, yani when the heat causes destruction, then that is also from the hellfire. And the coldest day on earth that causes destruction, that coldness is also from the hellfire. Because the punishment of the fire is both a fire and heat, and coolness, cold, to the point where the limbs freeze and break off. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the fire complained to Allah. It said, "Oh Allah, parts of me have consumed other parts." The fire is eating each other. That's how hot and raging it is. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave it permission to release a breath, to exhale. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hottest day you experience on earth, the heat that causes destruction, then that is coming from the exhaling of the hellfire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we go through a hot day on earth, that has apparent reasons. The sun and the rays of the sun and so on. But it also has a hidden reason. The hidden reason, we only mention it because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us. It's not something that we can make up. So we believe there is apparent reason, but there's also a hidden reason, and that is most definitely the exhaling of the hellfire itself. Subhanallah. Number three, so that's the fire on earth, the hottest day on earth. Number three, the fever. The fever also comes from Jahannam, from the hellfire. Abu Jamrah, rahimahullah, he said, I used to sit with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in Mecca. فأخذتني الحمى. And one day, I became feverish. He got sick. So Ibn Abbas said to him, أبردها بماء زمزم. Cool it down with Zamzam water. He said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, الحمى من فيح جهنم فأبردوها بالماء. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the fever is from the heat of the hellfire. So cool it down with water, and another narration with Zamzam water. Once again, there is an apparent reason for why a person becomes feverish. Bacterial infection, virus, whatever it is, inflammation, and then the body as a result responds to that, and a person's temperature rises. That's the apparent reason. But there is no doubt that there is also a hidden reason that we only speak about because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. And there is absolutely no doubt that when a person experiences fever, that is coming from the heat of the hellfire. So it reminds you of the hellfire. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هِيَ نَصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ, that is your portion and your part of the hellfire. You receive it in this worldly life, and it purifies you from your sins and it cleanses you so that you avoid experiencing the actual fire of hell. Well, subhanallah, wallahi, brothers and sisters in Islam, it is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that He told us about the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Ar-Rahman, He said, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. He spoke about the hellfire. He said, this is the hellfire in which the criminals reject and they deny. At the end of those ayat, he said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? So the mention of the hellfire was a favor from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a mercy that Allah Azza wa Jal told us. Imagine, just imagine we didn't know anything about the hellfire. What's going to keep us? What's going to keep us away from sins and disobedience and upon the straight path? Huh? Today, societies have to introduce laws and punishments and fines and court system and legislation, whatever it is, just to keep people away from crime. And obviously, their system is not working as well, right? It's not working. The jail system is the most failed system on earth. It doesn't nurture anyone. It doesn't raise anyone. It is flawed. It is corrupt. The only system that will keep people upright and steadfast is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that, what is included is the mention of the hellfire that will keep the people away from the sins and from the path that leads to Jahannam. So brothers and sisters in Islam, once the people have come out from their graves, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يُؤْتَى بِجَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ زِمَامٍ. On the day of judgment, when Allah Azza wa Jal gathers the people, the first of them and the last of them, He commands Jibreel alayhi salam that He command the angels that are responsible to bring the fire. He says to them, bring it forward. Bring it forward to the field of accountability. So 70,000 angels, each 70,000 is dragging Jahannam, and Jahannam has 70,000 chains attached to it. Each of these 70,000 chains is being dragged by 70,000 harsh, severe, strong angels. And it is brought before the eyes of the people. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He captures this moment and the response, how people respond to this scene. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمٍ. On that day, Jahannam is brought forth. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانِ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. The state of the human being would be that he would يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانِ. The human being is going to remember every sin and disobedience he committed. He will remember every cigarette he took. He will remember every part of his awrah that he exposed as he walked outside. He will remember every salat that he did not pray. He will remember every zakat that he did not pay on time. He will remember the days he was playing and laughing, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانِ. See the word يَتَذَكَّرُ. There is a shadda on the calf. It implies the intensity of his remembering. He can recall everything that he did of bad and all the good that he neglected and avoided in his life. And in addition to this, he says, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. Look at his regret. He says, I wish I had done for my life. Look at the language. He doesn't say, I wish I had done deeds during my life. He says, I wish I had done for my life. You know what that means? He now realizes that the real life is this one that he is standing in, not the one that was before, that wasn't a life. هَذَا يَوْمُكُمْ. This is your day. This is the life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the afterlife is the real life. Whether you learn this lesson or not, there will come a day where you will realize and understand that was the worldly life. That was the life that I shouldn't be working for. He has no other regret. He doesn't say, I wish I had done and invested my money in such and such business, or I built my house in this and this size. And he doesn't care about this. His one regret, I didn't do enough. I should have done more for this day, because that's the day where we're going to live forever and never die. Allahu Akbar. When the hellfire is brought, as it arrives, it begins to roar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, إِذَا رَأَتْهُم مِّن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّظًا وَزَفِيرًا. When the hellfire sees them from a far distance, the very moment it sees mankind, they will hear it roar. سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّظًا. Fury and roaring, wanting to take those that belong in it. Allahu Akbar. But it's controlled by chains. 70,000 chains with 70,000 angels in each one. Allahu Akbar, brothers and sisters. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Whoever fasts a day for the sake of Allah, Allah will turn his face away from Jahannam 70 years. Read this hadith and commit to fasting at least tomorrow in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you away from Jahannam and moves your face away from it 70 years. Or fast a Monday or a Thursday. When the people see it and hear it, the people will fall on their knees. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, ثُمَّ لَنُحْضِرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيًّا. When Jahannam is there and it has arrived, mankind will drop on their knees. They cannot even stand on their two feet anymore from the horrors and the terrors of that day. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says about the criminals, the disbelievers, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, oh, Ya Rasulullah, if you could only see, if you could only see when they are made to stand in front of the hellfire, you would have seen a horrible, terrifying sight. They will stand on this fire. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدْ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And their scream on that moment will be, we wish we are able to return to this worldly life and not reject the ayat of our Lord. And we want to become believers. We want to embrace iman. As-salat is iman. Al-Quran is iman. Your charity and your zakat is iman. This is the wish of people that are standing at the doors of Jahannam. And we have a chance. This is their wish. Meaning, you and I are now living the greatest wish of a disbeliever. Allahu Akbar. Take advantage of the time, brothers and sisters in Islam. You see this ayah? This ayah was the cause for why a tabi'i, or for why one of the scholars died. He read this ayah. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He read the ayah and he began to choke in his salat and he died. And he is known in history as Qatilul Quran, the one who the Quran killed him. Subhanallah, his name was Ali ibn al-Fudayl, the son of al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. Afterwards, the people will now be prepared for this hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا 70 ذِرَاعًا فَاسْنُكُوهُ. Now they're being prepared to be thrown in it. The angels of the hellfire, which are known as Az-Zabaniyah, harsh and stern, they will take these disbelievers and they will gather, collect their hands and tie it to their necks like this. So they'll be tied like this. Then a chain that is 70 arm lengths, 70 ذِرَاعًا. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said each arm length is the distance between Mecca and Iraq. 70 arm lengths, that's the length of the chain. One ring of the chain, if it was placed on a mountain on earth, then that mountain will melt just like iron melts. One chain. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said this long chain will be put in the backside of the disbeliever that's entering Jahannam and it'll come out from his mouth. It's like meat that is put on the stick and now it's ready to be barbecued in Jahannam. Afterwards, they have now been prepared. They'll be thrown in the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, تَدْعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. The hellfire itself, it will begin to call. Imagine that. The fire knows that you belong to it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us. It'll begin to call مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. Those who adbar, turned away from the remembrance of Allah, turned away from the path of Allah, it will call him by name. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. And the one who gathered and collected his wealth and put it in al-wi'a, in jugs, and he stored it and never paid his zakat, it'll call him by name. Allahu Akbar. Once they're called, the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla surrounding these disbelievers, they're ready to do their job. Now they're going to be thrown in. And there are different ways in how they're thrown in. One of them is that they will be pushed in Jahannam by al-malaika al-ghilad al-shiddad, the angels that are harsh and severe and stern and strong. You know, many years ago, there was an inch punch. There was a punch known as the 1-inch punch. Just 1 inch away from your body. And a strong punch by a human being. And it would take this person back almost 2 meters. Imagine Al-Malak, the angel of Allah Azza wa Jal, pushing the disbeliever. That's the first way they are taken into Jahannam and thrown in there, by a push. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يَوْمَ يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَى. They will be pushed violently into Jahannam. هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. And they are told, this is the fire that you used to reject and disbelieve in. أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا أَمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And they are told, is this magic? You used to say Islam wal Quran is magic. Does this look like magic now? إِصْلَوْهَا فَاصْبِرُوا أَوْ لَا تَصْبِرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. They are told, now go. Whether you're patient or not, it is not going to be of any benefit, and you will burn therein. That's the first way. They are pushed violently into it. Some are dragged into Jahannam on their face. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, that the disbelievers, the criminals, they would be recognized by blackness on their face. And they will be taken by their nawasi, by their forelocks, and by their aqdam, by their feet. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, the angels that are responsible for punishing these people, they will take the forehead of the person, they will take his feet from the back, they will bend his body, and they will tie his feet to his forehead from the back like this. What happens as a result? The spinal, the backbone will be broken. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, تَظُنُّ أَن يُفْعَلَ بِهَا فَاقِرَةً. The backbone is split and broken into half, and the feet are tied to the head, and then they are dragged to Jahannam. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, يَوْمَ يُسْحَبُونَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ ذُوقُوا مَسَّ سَقَرٍ. They will be dragged on their face to Jahannam, Allah says. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I tell you something. You see this face of yours? It is to go down onto the earth whether you like it or not. You either respect yourself and honor yourself and bring it down now willingly in a sujood and pray. And if you don't choose to bring it down in sujood, praying to Allah Azza wa Jal, then by Allah, whether you like it or not, it will forcefully come down onto the earth, and a person will be dragged on his face to Jahannam. You disrespected yourself, you humiliated yourself. But regardless, the face is going down. You choose how you want your face to go down. Willingly, pray now. Alhamdulillah, you'll see comfort on the Day of Judgment. Get up for Salat al-Fajr and pray. It's not worth it. That face is going down, wahakak, it's going down. Honor yourself, respect yourself, humble yourself, bring it down willingly. Otherwise, forcefully it will come down. A man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Nabi Allah, yuhsharu al-kafiru ala wajhihi yawm al-qiyamah. He said, Messenger of Allah, how can it be that a disbeliever walks and is dragged on his face on the Day of Judgment? How? We can't understand this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أليس الذي أمشاه على الرجلين في الدنيا قادر على أن يمشيه على وجهه يوم القيامة؟ Isn't the one who made him, enabled him to walk on his two feet in this worldly life, isn't he able to make him walk on his face on the day of judgment? Allahu Akbar. The ability of Allah Azza wa Jal. This companion said, Bala wa izzati Rabbina. Definitely, by the might of Allah Azza wa Jal, most definitely Allah Azza wa Jal is able to do so. SubhanAllah. Look at the doubt of the companions. Look how it's dispelled. Just the word and an answer. Alhamdulillah, I got my answer. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of acceptance and understanding. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when these disbelievers are in the hellfire, the believers from up there will ask them, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ? What made you fall into this pit of saqar? This is one of the levels in Jahannam. What was it? What got you there? Was it your zina? Was it the alcohol? Was it the parties? Was it the drugs? What was it? Primarily, it wasn't that. They will say, لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطَعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. They said, number one reason for why we are here, because we weren't among those who used to pray. Allahu Akbar. The first reason for why they were in there is because they neglected their salat. Secondly, because they were stingy. They weren't generous. لَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. Oh, but these are two qualities of disbelievers. Then, thirdly, they say, وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to indulge in falsehood alongside the others. We used to party, or zina, or clubs, or girls, or drugs. But they mentioned that in third position. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to reject and deny the afterlife. You see, a lot of youth today, they have doubts in the afterlife. They have doubts. Is there such thing as a hellfire, as a fire, as a paradise? Do these things exist? You know where the doubt comes from? When you don't pray, right? You're not generous with your wealth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You hang around and you indulge in falsehood. What's going to happen afterwards? This is why doubts come in. The intense attachment to desires leads to doubts in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to expel doubts from your heart, become upright and steadfast upon the deen of Allah, and you will be granted certainty in your heart, and you will never doubt these matters. Another way that they're thrown in Jahannam, they are thrown in like a garbage bag. Some are pushed, some on their face, some are like a garbage bag. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, Al-qiya fi jahannama kulla kaffarin anid. Al-qiya. You know the word al-qiya? Wallahi, al-qiya. The best practical example of that is to grab a bag of garbage, of rubbish, and to just throw it like that. Some are thrown like this in Jahannam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَنَحْشُرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ عُمْيًا وَبُكْمًا وَصُمًّا. And on the day of judgment, when they are all gathered, they are all blind, deaf, and dumb. This is their state. And they're all thrown in Jahannam like this. Next up, as they're all thrown in there in different types and ways, it'll take a long time to reach to the pit of the fire, to the bottom. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, we were once with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ سَمِعَ وَجْبَةً. All of a sudden, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions heard a loud bang. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذَا? Do you all know what this sound is? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. He said to them, that was a hajar, a rock. It was thrown into Jahannam 70 years ago. Right now, it reached the pit. It's going to take 70 years to reach to the bottom. Allahu Akbar. The size, now when they're thrown in Jahannam, their bodies do not remain as they are in this world life. If this is the same body that ends up in Jahannam, it'll disintegrate. It won't stand a chance. So Allah Azza wa Jal grows these bodies, enlarges them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that this believer, the size of his tooth in Jahannam would be the size of the mountain of Uhud. That's one tooth. So 33 all up for an Arab, but 33 mountains of Uhud. And such a huge mountain it is, it takes 17 kilometers to go just around that mountain. That's one tooth. The skin is the thickness of the travel of 3 days. So from the outside to the inside of the skin, it'll take a distance of 3 days of fast travel. Wa Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا بَيْنَ مَنْكِبَيِّ الْكَافِرِ مَسِيرَةُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ لِلْرَاكِبِ الْمُسْرِعِ. And between the shoulders of the disbeliever, from here to here, is the distance also of 3 days for the fast traveler. That's kilometers. وَإِنَّ مَجْلِسَهُ مِنْ جَهَنَّمْ كَمَا بَيْنَ مَكَّةَ وَالْمَدِينَةِ. And his seat in Jahannam, his position in Jahannam, is the same side distance as Mecca and Al-Medina. That's his position. Huge bodies, so that they can feel the burn and feel the fire. Next up, I tell you something. We're going to talk about the types of punishment. But as much as we talk about that, we will never understand its reality, because it's beyond our imagination. You know, like if I was to say to you, from Melbourne to Sydney, it's roughly 800 kilometers. You understand that because you've experienced this journey maybe, and you know what that means. But if I say to you, the moon is 1.3 light seconds away from the earth, and 9.9 million years or million light years between one galaxy to the next. Now I lost you. You got no clue, because you've never experienced. What does it feel? What does a light year mean? How do you travel that? You don't understand this stuff, because we've never experienced it. That's the idea. When we speak about the types of Jahannam, we cannot understand, because we've never experienced it. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, نَارُكُمْ جُزْءٌ مِّن سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِّن نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. He said that the fire of hell, it is 70 parts of one part of your fire on earth. You know, if we grabbed all the logs on earth and everything that is flammable and burns, and we put it all in one place and we lit a fire on it, and we waited days and days and days that it intensifies, the hottest fire on earth, that is just one part of 70 parts of Jahannam. So that one part we have, you need to multiply it by 70 parts. We can't do this on earth. But that's the ferocious nature of the fire of Jahannam. It was kindled for 1,000 years until it became red. Then another 1,000 years until it became white. Then another 1,000 years until it became black. فَهِيَ سَوَادٌ كَالْلَيْلِ. It is dark, pitch black. See, our fire today, there's some blue, sometimes there's some red. Jahannam has passed that stage. It's at the stage where it's black now. We don't know what this is. We've never seen a black fire. 3,000 years for it to reach that stage. The least person of the fire that is burning and experiencing punishment will be standing on 2 coals, and his brain will be boiling. And on top of all this, he thinks that he is getting punished the most, and he's the least punished person. لا يرى أن أحدا أشد منه عذابا وإنه لأهونهم عذابا. It's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari or Muslim. He thinks that no one's been punished more than him, yet he is the one that is experiencing least punishment. See, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I tell you something. The punishment of Allah is absolutely perfect and just in every way, shape and form. Just like Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy and justice is perfect and complete. And I want to teach you this. Now, I want to compare with you the most extreme form of punishment in this worldly life in comparison to the punishment of the afterlife, and show you how there is absolutely no comparison, so that we can appreciate the absolute justice of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let's say this. In this worldly life, no matter what severe punishment and torture you go through, at least there is some sort of hope. You might come out of it one day, or you might die and the punishment ends. Jahannam, there is no coming out of it, right, for the one that is there eternally. And there is no hope that one day you will die and it'll all end. In this worldly life, the most intense punishment, at least time means something. It's just time. Maybe I come out later on, or maybe I die. It's just about time, that's all. Over there, time is meaningless, has no relevance whatsoever. It's useless. You didn't even, what are you going to count? That's one. Number two, in this worldly life, no matter how intense the punishment is, over time a person gets used to it. So people that are in notorious prisons and they are tortured, once, first day he's scared, he's whatever it is, the second, the third, after 1 month, it's got normal practice, normal routine. Halas, you get used to it over time. In the afterlife, in Jahannam, there is no such thing as I'll get used to it as the days go by. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, زِدْنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ. We increase them punishment upon their punishment. Allahu Akbar. Not a single day of rest and not a single day of getting used to the punishment. Every second and every moment is a new experience and a terrifying experience. In this worldly life, if you're punished extreme punishments, at least there is some relief knowing that others are being punished with you. Sometimes when people do prison together, they said, yeah, that's my prison mate, my cellmate. We did prison together. You find relief in the fact that, I wasn't there alone. I had someone sharing the cell with me. It brings some sort of comfort that I wasn't alone. Jahannam is different. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَنْ يَنْفَعُكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it'll be of no benefit to you today that you are all sharing the punishment together. You got no clue about the other, and the other has no clue about what you're going through. Allahu Akbar. Worse than that, people are cursing each other in Jahannam. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا قَالُوا لَا مَرْحَبًا بِهِمْ قَالُوا بَلْ أَنْتُمْ لَا مَرْحَبًا بِكُمْ. They're cursing each other, you're not welcome here, they're slandering one another. That's the relationship between each other. Subhanallah. They are lonely in the punishment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلُّ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. This is the singular tense. He's alone in Jahannam, burning forever. Another thing, in this worldly life, in the prison, or whatever it is, at least there is some chance to call your family, your friends, even if it was 15 minutes a week. It's some sort of connection, and that brings some sort of relief. I spoke to them. In the hellfire, you can see your relative and speak to him for 15 minutes and go back to your punishment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Relationships have ended. They have cut off. There's no such thing as this is my brother, this is my friend. It doesn't exist. It's gone. And rather, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي يَوْمَئِذٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the mujrim, the criminal, would wish to ransom off his father, his mother, his partner, his children, meaning he'll wish to give them up to free himself from Jahannam. That's what he'll pay. That is the ultimate form of betrayal. He's ready to betray his entire family just to get out of there. See the relationships, how it's become? Betrayal, it's all cut off. No one is comforting no one on that day. Allahu Akbar. And you know, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most High, like this person is he wants to pay himself out of Jahannam. But there is a hadith in where Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to the people of the hellfire, who received the least punishment? He said, if you own this entire world and 10 times like it, would you pay that to come out of the fire of hell? Imagine that, 10 worlds and you own them all. Would you pay it to come out? What's the answer? Of course, they all said we will. You know what Allah Azza wa Jal said in response? You lied. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, while you were in the backbone of Adam, I asked from you something way less than that. I asked you that you worship me alone and associate no one with me. And you didn't do. So you're a liar. If you own the entire world and 10 times, it's still, I gave you something less than that. Subhanallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us death upon La ilaha illallah. I give you another comparison. In this worldly life, if you're being tortured and punished, at least you can experience somewhat relief by reliving a good memory. Let's say you're being tortured, you close your eyes, and you remember a day that you were with your family on the beach enjoying the sun. You can relive a memory. They say, you know, sometimes these psychologists and whatever it is that they deal with the prison inmates and so on, they just have a discussion about good memories that happen in their life. It gives them some sort of comfort. You know what the case is on the Day of Judgment? Listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, يُؤْتَى بِأَنْعَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, the person who experienced the most luxuries on earth will be brought on the Day of Judgment. I'm not talking to you about a person who was a millionaire or a billionaire. I'm talking about someone who was born a multi-billionaire. Never experienced pain and calamities in his life. He doesn't even know what sickness means. He lived a long life and took all the pleasures of this world, the life that it can offer. Cars and girls and mansion and gold and silver and land and property, and all of it he had at his disposal. That person will be brought on the Day of Judgment and given one dip in Jahannam really quick, and it will be said to him, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَبْ, have you ever seen any blessing and luxury in your life? He says, wallahi, I have never seen any luxury in my life. What does that mean? He forgot all his good memories. And then when he's thrown in Jahannam, what good memory can he relive to reduce the pain of that punishment upon him? Nothing. Do you see how just and at the same time intense and severe the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla is? There is absolutely no chance of one break whatsoever. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Once they're in Jahannam, and this is the type of punishment that they're going to be experiencing, isolated, lonely. Now they are hungry. The foods are being prepared. Open buffet to the people of the fire. Number one, az-zaqoom is brought forth. Inna shajarat az-zaqoom ta'amu al-athim kal-muhli yaghli fil-butoon ka-ghali al-hamim. The tree of zaqoom is brought. And this zaqoom, it tastes like murky oil that boils in the bellies like boiling water when they eat it. Once they eat it, their intestines are torn and it comes out of their bellies, as Allah Azza wa Jal said. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if one drop, a tiny drop of zaqoom, was to fall onto this worldly life, لَأَفْسَدَتْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا مَعِيشَتَهُمْ, it would corrupt the life of people on earth. we would all be holding our noses and we will not be able to live the day and sleep the nights if a tiny drop of zakum fell on earth. Imagine then if that is the food of a person and he has no food besides that. From the other foods that are there in the buffet, al-bari'a, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ. الضريع is a thorny plant. It's got a lot of spikes and thorns on it. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said about it, لَا يُسْمِنُ. It is not nutritious. It doesn't add to your fat and to your body weight. وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ. And it doesn't satisfy of hunger. You're eating air. You're eating nothing. You're only experiencing pain as it's going down. Thorns, spikes on it. As they eat it, they will choke on it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ. Food that chokes. هَذَا غَصْ. He choked on the food. Once they're choking on it, they need to drink something to wash it down. So now the drinks come. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, هَذَا فَلْيَذُوقُوهُ حَمِيمٌ وَغَسَّاقًا. These are two drinks. Hamim is boiling water. Ghassaq is pus and blood of the disbelievers that has come out and oozed out of their body and collected in the middle of Jahannam. Are we drinking that? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ. And if they were to yastaghith, if they were to cry and scream out for water, from the intense thirst they are experiencing, they are given boiling water that will melt the faces. Yashwi, it barbecues the face. So there's a hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا قَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِ سَقَطَتْ فَرْوَةُ وَجْهِهِ. The moment this water is brought near to his face, the skin of the face melts, it melts and it drops. So what is seen is the skeletal structure and the skull of this person. And he is forced to drink it. Allahu Akbar. And all of this while they are breathing heavily. لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَيِّقَ. They're breathing. When they breathe out and breathe in, الزفير is to scream. The scream that comes out of the throat from the intensity of sadness. And al-shahiq is the scream that comes out from the chest from the intensity of sadness. A scream that comes out from the throat and from the chest. And it's making it even worse and worse in terms of their thirst. Allahu Akbar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he says, لو كان في هذا المسجد مئة ألف أو يزيدون. He said to the companions, if there were 100,000 men in this masjid or more, وَفِيهِ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, and one person from the people of the fire was in there with the 100,000, فَتَنَفَّسَ فَأَصَابَهُمْ نَفَسُهُ لَحْتَرَقَ الْمَسْجِدُ وَنْهُمْ فِيهِ. And if he was to breathe just once, all of the 100,000 people and the masjid will burn in one instance. I said, nafs. That's how hot that nafs, that breath would come out being. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this fire, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes it as Nar al-Samum. You know al-Samum? Have you heard of the word al-Samum? It's in the Quran. Al-Samum, it comes from the word al-Sawm. Was-Sawm comes from Sam al-Khiyat. You know the eye of the needle? So al-Sam is like the small hole, the opening. Azab al-Samum, meaning the fire will penetrate into masamul insan. Every human being has openings. With the two openings for the nose, for the mouth, for the ears, for the eye. The fire that's described as a samum, meaning it is a fire that is intended to go into the openings of the human being. It goes inside of that. And you know our body, it's full of skin pores. There are microscopic pores and openings in all of your skin. There is a fire Its role is to go into those holes. Nothing of your body is spared of the punishment, and it's going deep inside. Allahu Akbar. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. There are snakes in the hellfire the size of camel necks, and they will sting. And its sting, the poison, will last for 40 years. The person will be agitated and irritated from that sting. There are scorpions that do the same thing. Their sting will last for 40 years. And there is maqami', iron rods that the disbelievers are smashed with. وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. The people of Jahannam, some of them will be able to climb to the top. Eventually, after years and years, they make it to the top. They're about to come out. Well, angel smashes them with a iron rod, and they fall straight back down from where they came from. And this is a form of punishment. سَأُرْهِقُهُ صَعُودًا. I'm going to exhaust them climbing up. And then he's tipped back in. وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. And they are crying. وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. And they are screaming inside of this hellfire. They are crying so much. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the eye, you see this part of the eye, this pocket here, it will fill with so much tears. The tears will finish, they will cry blood, that if a ship was to sail, it would be able to sail. It fills up with tears and blood. Allahu Akbar. The people of the hellfire, they have wishes. Their first wish, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. The people of the hellfire will scream out to the people of the paradise. They'll say, they'll beg them, أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Pour some water onto us. Have the water that is free to open the tap, the water comes out. Give us some of that. And even better than that, because the water of the paradise is nowhere the water of the worldly life. Or anything that Allah has provided you with, give us something. You know what the response is? قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They'll say, sorry, Allah Azza wa Jal has forbid these products upon the disbelievers. Allahu Akbar. Not a drop of water you'll ever see for the rest. There is no rest of your life. Khalas. This is it. Eternity. Once there is no chance and hope in that, they will turn to the gatekeeper of Jahannam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمَ ادْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. They will say, that's their second wish. Tell your Lord to reduce the punishment just for one day. But just turn the temperature down just for one day. SubhanAllah, the response is, didn't the messengers used to come and the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal used to come and you rejected all of this? There is no turning down of the punishment, it only increases. Their third wish, once there is no hope in that, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. They now call on to Malik, the big boss that is guarding Jahannam. They say to him, Malik, can you call on to your Lord to cause death upon us? We just want to die. We're happy dying. A day that you wish for death, death will be the most beloved thing to you. 1,000 years go by, and every day is like 1,000 days of what we count. After that long period, Malik would say to them, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You're remaining here. There is no escape and there is no death. Allahu Akbar. Psychological torture. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. We came with the truth, but you people disliked and rejected the truth. The final wish they have, قالوا ربنا غلبت علينا شقوتنا وكنا قوما ضالين ربنا أخرجنا منها فإن عدنا فإنا ظالمون. They say, our Lord, the worldly desires and temptations overtook us. We lost control and we just engaged in the luxuries of this life. And we were wrongdoers. So Lord, bring us out of Jahannam, back to this worldly life. That's all we want. The narrations mention that almost two worldly lives go by, and then the response comes to them saying, قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. You know the word اخْسَأُ, it is said to a dog when he's barking. So they are told, shut your mouth, and you are remaining therein forever, and there is no coming out. Subhanallah, they are silenced. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the only thing the disbeliever wants, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. That's it. All of these plans or all of these wishes is for one thing. They just want to escape it and get out. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا. And they will not come out of it at all. Allahu Akbar. And you know, the disbeliever in Jahannam, unlike the prisoners in this world of life, if there's someone in prison today, most of the inmates, 100% of them, if you went into prison and you said to him, do you acknowledge that you deserve to be in this cell for this amount of years? What would everyone in the cell say? La wallah, I don't. This is oppression and I don't know why I'm here for. But the people of Jahannam are not like that. Everyone in Jahannam acknowledges that this is where he deserves to be. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They acknowledge that this is the only place that we deserve to be. And the people of Jahannam will praise Allah Azza wa Jal for his justice. وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The people of the paradise, the angels and the disbelievers, every one of the creation of Allah will praise Allah at the end of everything for the justice that Allah Azza wa Jal served his creation with. Allahu Akbar. And by far, the greatest punishment that the disbelievers will experience is that they will not see Allah Azza wa Jal. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. There will be a barrier between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. They will never meet and see their Creator, their Maker and their Lord. This is the toughest punishment that they will experience. And at the same time, it is the ultimate pleasure that the believers will experience. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of the people of the paradise. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah, as I'm concluding this talk, no one of us is guaranteed anything. We were all born Muslims, and that does not mean that we are going to die Muslims. So we need to keep committed unto the faith, remembering it's not about what you have done today and yesterday. That's all finished. It's all about what you are doing right now. What is your condition and what is your state right now? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. A person is judged by the endings, how his actions end. And this is why we cannot afford to be lazy in our deen. Salat al-Isha that we're going to pray now, you have to pray it right now. Right? You cannot delay and you cannot avoid to skip it. Because if you die after it, you died upon Salat alhamdulillah. Let's say you said, you know what, I've been praying for the last 30 years, let me just miss this one. Allah, no, just missed it. What about if you die? You died upon neglecting a Salat. As a dangerous state to meet Allah Azza wa Jal in. This is why we need to understand these matters. Jahannam is a serious issue. And the sins are something big. They have to be big in the sight of the believer. So in order to avoid them and to keep away from them. There is a hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I saw the paradise and the hellfire. When he was praying Salat al-Kusuf. He said, I saw in the hellfire a woman that used to cage the cat and not feed it. She was in the hellfire. And I saw Sahibul Mihjan, a person that used to steal the Hujjaj. He had like a stick on his back, and he would go to the Hujjaj and pick up their belongings with his stick and walk off like nothing happened. ورأيت سارق ناقتي رسول الله. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, I saw the one who stole my two camels in Jahannam. And I saw the woman being the majority of the people of the hellfire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, a woman's in the hellfire because of a cat. A cat. Don't belittle a sin. The other man was in the hellfire because he used to steal the hujjaj. And what's in the hujjaj's luggage? What's in it? An ihram that's worth nothing. What else is in it? That's it. He used to steal that. What? There's nothing. Another one, he was in the hellfire because he just stole two camels. What's the value of two camels? Nothing. A woman is in Jahannam because she was ungrateful to her husband. Maybe he forgave her in this worldly life, I don't know, but she's ended up in Jahannam. Because this is a matter that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this hadith to the woman, and he said to them, I seen you the majority of the hellfire. The woman said, Ya Rasulullah, why? He said, لِأَنَّكُنَّ تَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. Because you're ungrateful to your husband. If that husband did a lifetime of good, and he did one error, you would say to him, I never saw any good in you. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَصَدَّقْنَا مَعْشَرَ النِّسَاءِ. Give sadaqah. Meaning, if a woman was victim of this hadith and feels guilty for that deed, the way she corrects it and rectifies it is by giving sadaqah. That's how she clears herself from this deed. And that is not to say that the man who is oppressive and rebellious in his house also has a punishment in store for him. At the end of the day, this woman punished the cat and she was in the fire. Imagine a man that is supposed to be protecting his family and providing for them and loving them and nurturing them. Instead of that, he is violent towards them, hits them, insults them, swears at them, deprives them. What's going to be happening with such a person? If that was a cat there, these are human beings. Most definitely the punishment is intense. And I mention this because sometimes when women hear it, they think, why are we picked on? And that's not the idea. Take the hadith as it is from the mouth of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and understand that anyone has dealt in oppression will also meet his fate with Allah Azza wa Jal if he does not repent and seek Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that he made this hellfire that we see, that if we were to ask him to protect us from it, the hellfire would say, oh Allah, such and such is seeking refuge from me, so protect him. Whoever asks Allah and says, Allahumma ajirni min al-nar, Allahumma ajirni min al-nar, Allahumma ajirni min al-nar, my Lord, protect me from the fire, protect me from the fire, the hellfire would say, oh Allah, protect him from the fire. How beautiful is this? Are you including this in your dua every day or not? If not, then include it. Learn it in Arabic if you cannot say it in English. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire 3 times. And if a person was to say, oh Allah, I asked you for the paradise 3 times, the paradise itself will say, oh Allah, grant him the paradise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the paradise and the highest levels in the paradise. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر.